All right, Ephesians chapter 1. We have started a study on the Holy Spirit. And I sat down today and yesterday and I got to thinking about it. And I thought, well, what do I know? What do I know about the Holy Spirit? Now, a lot of people don't know Him. They don't know anything about Him. And I don't fault people for that, you know. That's why you have pastors and teachers. They're supposed to teach you. And husbands are supposed to lead their wives. And children's parents are supposed to teach them. So you can't fault people a lot of times for not knowing because the people who are responsible for teaching them are not doing their job. And I know we can say everybody takes their own responsibility, you know. I understand that. We ought to be responsible for ourselves. But sometimes, you know, young people need leadership. Wives need leadership. Men need leadership. And if the leader's not doing their job, then that person's not getting what they need. So, of course, they're going to turn on the TV. They're going to turn on the TV. And they're going to look something on the Internet. And since they don't know anything, then they're easily misled and misinformed or not informed enough, you know. And so as a pastor, I take that very seriously, the teaching part. I take that very seriously. Now, don't get me wrong. I like to preach. I like to scream and holler and spit and make fun of Rick and make fun of Brother Jeffrey and throw sticks up and down the aisle and stuff like that. But you need teaching, too. You need teaching. And I heard something say one day, somebody said, if you will take something, now everything, every biblical subject, especially the Holy Spirit, is profound. It's profound. It's almost beyond our understanding. But if you'll take something that's profound, people don't really like to talk about it because it gets a little bit boring if you don't watch out. So what you do is you take something profound and you wrap it up in a candy bar. You know, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And so you wrap up something profound in something that's not profound, like a story about swimming in the creek when you was a little boy. And that helps people. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not the dumbest guy in town. I do have some education. And I do have a lot of experience. But I try not to go so deep that people will get drowned or bored to death and they'll just quit listening. So it takes me longer to teach something than it does a lot of preachers because they're just going to go, here's the facts. Fact one, fact two, fact three, fact four, fact five, fact six, fact seven, and here's a poem. Let's go home. And by then you're sound asleep. So I have to put all kind of stuff in there because this crowd here, it's hard to keep y'all going, okay? I have to set something on fire or break something or poke somebody in the eye to keep y'all awake. And so, no, I'm teasing. I'm just teasing. But because I did children's church all those years, I do have a lot of stuff mixed in with, and it does. I've preached places before. I candidated for a church up in Charlotte years ago. And big, big, big Southern Baptist church, real conservative. And people came to me after it was over and they said, my kids stayed awake for the first time in church since I've ever known my child. They loved your preaching. And but they didn't choose me as their pastor. They chose a weatherman. He used to be a weatherman on NBC. They chose him instead. And he wasn't a preacher, he was a weatherman. But anyway, and churches I'd go to and I'd preach, they'd tell me that stuff. And the reason is I try, it takes me longer, I understand. It takes me longer. But the reason is I throw all this stuff in there with it to try to keep people's attention and get it down on everybody's level. Cookies ain't no good if you can't reach them. You got to put them on the shelf where everybody can get them. Amen? And that's what the Word of God is. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm not in a hurry. Okay, we're going to go through the Holy Spirit for week after week after week. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. He's talking about trusting Christ there in verse 12. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, to make this real simple, he said, now you were saved after you trusted Christ. You heard the word of truth. That's the gospel of your salvation. You believe that. And then once you believe that, the Holy Spirit put that in you, and He sealed that salvation in you. Now, you're not completely saved. The outside of you is not saved yet. It's been redeemed, it's been bought and paid for, but it won't be perfectly, completely saved until it gets to heaven when you get a new body. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're saved, you're going to heaven, but what He's given us is the Holy Spirit in here, and it's just like when you go to buy a house, you're going to have to give them a little money before you even go to the bank or anything, before you ever really make the deal. They say, well, how much earnest money are you going to give us to make sure you're not wasting our time? We've got a little of your money to prove that you're going to go on through with this deal. You're not just going to drop it. Because if they didn't, people would say, I'm buying a house and go through all kinds of stuff and then drop it in the middle of it. So the Holy Spirit, same way, the day that you received Christ and got saved, the Holy Spirit came into you, but not completely everything that you're going to get. You've got enough of Him to get you to heaven. He sealed that salvation into you, but you're not, that's an earnest, that's a down payment. That's not the complete house. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not saying you're not saved, I'm saying there's more to come. The transaction is not complete. You are saved. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you receive Christ. But the Holy Spirit came into you as a down payment of that salvation. He's in there in order, you've got some God in you now. And He sealed that in there. It's not coming out until He gets you to heaven, and then the transaction will be complete that day you walk in that, I go to prepare a place for you. And when you get in there, it's just like signing the paper at the bank. You're there. The owner's there. The lawyer, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's there. And once you get to heaven, the transaction is going to be completed, and you won't just have an earnest of God anymore. You'll have complete God then. And I know it's a little strange to hear that said, because most people don't try to explain that. So I have the Holy Spirit in me, so there's some things I know. I thought about this. There's some things that you know, and maybe you don't know you know them, but most people know this. And I'm going to go over those, and then I'll get to my lesson for tonight. Number one, we know He is a person. He's not an it. He's a person. He's God. He's of the Godhead. He's one of the three. He's all God. Just as much as God sitting on the throne. I can't explain that. Don't ask me to. You can't either. Nobody else can until we get to heaven. There's some things you can't explain, okay? But I know that He's a person. He's not an it. He's not a spooky feeling floating around out there. He's not a power floating around there you can tap into. He is God, the person of the Holy Ghost, okay? We do know that He's deity. He's as much God as Jesus Christ is. We know that. We know that He seals us as believers. He's promised to get me to heaven. That's His job. Now, that's His job, not mine. We do know that in the Old Testament, He appeared many times in different circumstances, different ways, different manifestations. So I know He was in that burning bush when Moses went up there and he met God, and that bush was burning, but it never burned up. You remember that? The bush that burnt, that never burned up. That was the Holy Ghost in there. That was His presence. I also know that He was the pillar of fire, that Shekinah glory. And in the daytime, He was the Holy Ghost leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. That was Him. That was Him. Now, that wasn't all Him, but that was Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was the Holy Spirit. We do know that He was in the tongues of fire there on that day of Pentecost when they saw him. He manifested his presence on those believers that day with those cloven tongues of fire over the top of their head. That was real. It really happened. To show those Jews the same God that met Moses on the mountaintop is now on these people. And the same God that led them through the wilderness is now on these people and showing that Jesus Christ was the way. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit was the author and the revelator of the Scriptures. We know that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the author of the Bible. It's not 40 different men. It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit himself moved these men just like he moved on the face of the earth when it was void and without form and he was in creation. So we know that God the Holy Ghost, that his Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Now, the Catholic Church will tell you they wrote the Bible. And because they tell you they wrote the Bible, they say they have the authority to change the Bible. That's why they can change. We can't change. We didn't write the Bible. The Pope's got a little porch he walks out on. They call it a portico. It's a little old porch. Y'all seen him sticking up down there at the Vatican. And when he walks out, he's supposed to be speaking. It's called ex cathedra. And now he is the mouthpiece of Christ. So anything he says standing on that porch is supposed to be Jesus Christ speaking through him. Yeah, you know that's a lie because you just said the other day that the Muslims, they're children of God too. And he said some of them will probably go to heaven. And you know that he's a lie because he's now leaning toward the LGBT stuff. And why wouldn't he? Half the priests are homosexuals anyway, and they molest little boys, so why wouldn't he go that way? And so we know he doesn't have the authority to change the Scriptures because they were written by the Holy Ghost, God himself. Can I get amen out of that? Some of y'all sitting there looking at me like you didn't eat supper and I got peanut butter on my mouth or something. Amen. Amen. So we know he's the revelator of Scripture. We know he came upon people in the Old Testament. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. He came upon those Old Testament prophets. He came upon Deborah. He came upon women in the Old Testament. Now he wasn't in them, but he was on them. And for specific jobs. He had a job for them. So all the power of God through the Holy Ghost himself would come on that person. Samson for an example. When he was out of the will of God, the Spirit of God left him. When he was in the will of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost came on him and he was super powerful. And by the way, nowhere in the Bible will you read where he was a big man like the pictures we see. You know, he's carrying off those gates. He tore two gates off and carried them one time. And where he killed thousands of Philistines, we see pictures of him. You know, he's got big muscle. He's slinging that jawbone of a jackass, you know, and he's killing everybody. I think he's a little old runt. I do. Because I think God got all the glory from it. I think people looked at him and said, him? He did that? God must be on that boy. Amen? So we know that he came upon people in the Old Testament to do a specific work. We know he was involved in creation. We know that the Holy Ghost was involved in the creation of the universe. We know that. We know that he was involved in forming and separating and keeping the nation of Israel. We know God, the Holy Ghost, moved on those men, moved on that nation, moved on that government, moved on that priesthood, and he formed and he kept the children of Israel. And by the way, he's still keeping it. They're surrounded by more enemies than we would ever dream of. Obama would have signed the treaty by now. But not them, buddy. They stand there and they say, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so we know that the Holy Ghost is in on that. We know he was active in the birth and the ministry and the death and the resurrection and the glorification of Jesus Christ, the God-man. We know he was in that. The Bible says he was. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. That means God, the Holy Ghost, planted that seed in that woman. The seed of God, not the seed of a man. So he didn't have a man's blood, so he didn't inherit the sin nature. He had the God nature in him. So God, the Holy Ghost, did that, put that in that little old girl. We know that. Don't we know that? So we know that the Holy Spirit was in the conception, in the birth of Christ. He had a miraculous birth. And then we know that He kept him. When all the other babies were killed, the Holy Ghost told Joseph what to do. Y'all remember that? We know that's the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times people say, well, God did that. Well, God did do that, but God, the Holy Ghost, did that. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? God's sitting on the throne. He doesn't leave the throne. The Holy Spirit Himself is doing these things, see? And so we know that the Holy Ghost was he was in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He could turn water into wine. Well, that wasn't a big deal. The big deal was He could give hearing to the deaf, sight to the blind, heal the leper, heal the deaf and dumb. But not only that, He could even raise the dead. Now, that was the Holy Spirit in that body doing that. That's the Holy Ghost. He did that by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how He did that. So we know these things. We know this. Most of you do. If you don't, you're learning something tonight. We know that He is active. Well, I know that He right now is still active. He's alive and well, and He's active. Now, listen now. He's active in the calling and the convicting and the converting and the keeping and the empowering of the believer. We know He is. Right now He is. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, you'd have got knocked out of sight a long time ago. He's the one that keeps lifting you up. He's the one that keeps giving you power to say no or to say yes. He's the one that supplies all your needs from His riches and glory. He's the one that guides you by His Spirit. Amen? So we know He does that. He's active right now. It's not that He did that in the Old Testament at creation, and He did it with Moses, and He did it with the children of Israel, and He did it in Jesus' day, and He did it with the disciples and the apostles. But He's also doing it right now with us. Did you know we see God, the Holy Ghost, do things that the apostles never saw and the disciples at that time never saw? They never saw God build a great big congregation. They never saw God, the Holy Ghost, empower preachers and Sunday school teachers. They didn't have such things. They met in little old groups. They met in houses, 5 or 6, 10, 12 people maybe, sometimes more, but very seldom. They didn't see great works of God. They didn't see that. I went to First Baptist Hammond, Indiana, the first time I went to pastor school. And we flew in on a Saturday night. I didn't pay for it. God, the Holy Ghost, sent a man to pay my way. A millionaire bought me a ticket and paid for everything. I didn't have to pay for nothing. And I was a young preacher, too. And we got that motel that afternoon, and that Sunday morning we got down there at that church. And I'm telling y'all the truth. That church was on a corner like this, and it didn't even look like a church, really, big old building. But you could look down that way in Hammond, Indiana, and you look all the way down Calumet Boulevard. As far as you see, it's flat. The whole place up there is flat. And you could see, you could see for miles and miles and miles. And there's old school buses lined up as far as I could see that way. I look down this corner, there's old school buses lined up as far as you see down that way. And I said, what in the world? How many buses they got? And a fellow told me, he said, well, the church owns 300 buses. But we pay the city of Chicago for 350 more buses and drivers every Sunday. Now, they had their own bus captains. They had people get on the bus and tell the driver where to go, and they'd stop and pick up. And it wasn't just kids. And there were so many different kinds of people back here. They bought up almost the whole town. Back here on this corner was an old furniture store. They made it into a Latino church. There was 2,000 whatever Latinos met there every Sunday. They came on those buses. Then over here on this corner, there was an Oriental church. It was pastored by a Chinese preacher. And there was 2,000 or 3,000 Orientals in there every Sunday. And then over here on this corner, they had a teen church. And it wasn't a hippie church either. It was old-fashioned preaching, singing. And there were 4,000 teenagers in there every Sunday came on those buses. The Sunday school went like this. They started at 8:30. The first route dropped off at 8:30, so they had to start picking up 6:30, 7 o'clock. But they had Sunday school route A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H. They had 8 hours of Sunday school. And when Sunday school A was coming out, Sunday school B was coming in on some more buses and unloading. And then when Sunday school B was coming out, Sunday school C group was driving up on their buses and they were unloading. And that went on 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day. And boy, I got in there, I thought, boy, this place is going to be a stuck-up, sophisticated place. I went in there, and it was just an old-fashioned Baptist church, man. And I thought to myself, how could somebody in the age we live in do that? How could somebody do that? It had to be God, the Holy Ghost, moving on that air, because within a 50-mile radius, there was no other Bible-believing, soul-winning church. There were other churches. There were dead fundamental churches. There were Calvinist churches. There were not many Southern Baptists there. There were American Baptist churches, all kind. And of course, you had Lutheran and all that stuff. But within a 50, they brought people 50 miles around them like that, 50 miles in every direction. Now, unless one man had been filled by the Holy Ghost and got the vision for that, that never would have happened. That never would have happened. And the apostles, Brother Billy, the apostles never seen nothing like that. I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do. I sat up there in that balcony that day and I cried through the whole service. Now they got all these children's churches going on during the they only had two regular services for the adults, regular, you know, church. And I was sitting up there in that balcony, and I looked down there, and there's a woman. This is no joke. There was a woman in a mink coat sitting right down there, and right beside her was a bag lady. And I looked out across there, and that was happening all over that church. And I thought, only God could do that. Only God could do that. And so we know that God, the Holy Ghost, is still working. He's not dead. He hadn't backed up or changed or compromised. He's still working. We just don't always see it. And some things we see, we just take for granted, you know. We say, oh, well, God did that. Yeah, God the Holy Ghost did that. We'll say, yeah, the Lord did that. Yeah, the Lord the Holy Ghost did that. He was in it. Hey, He's working right now in mine and your life. God the Holy Ghost changed you. God the Holy Ghost is changing you. God the Holy Ghost works out things. So we know that. We know, according to the Bible, that He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, that's not our job. Our job is to be witnesses. It's God the Holy Ghost's job to save people and add them to the church. Amen. Now, so this brings me to my lesson, John 16. I'm already out of time. I'm going to read the verse and we'll get started on it next week after. John 16, turn there. And now, we know some things. Do y'all agree we know those things? Yes. But do you ever think about that? Is that not wonderful? All those things. Is that not wonderful that I know the Holy Spirit that has done every bit of that, that's been in every bit of that, that is inspired, that has empowered, and the miracle working power, He's done every bit of that. And I know Him. I have an earnest, that's when we take that money and we lay it down there at the bank and say, look, I'm serious about this thing. I'm going to leave $300 on this contract so we can go on through with it. Now, that's not the down payment. That's the earnest. Now, later on, you may have to have a down payment then to go with the earnest, but you're being serious. So God, the Holy Ghost, is being serious. He says, look, I'm going to give you a little bit of me. I'm serious about this thing. I'm going to give you a down payment. I'm going to give you a little heaven while you're here on earth. Amen? And I'm not backing out of this deal. Boy, I like that. That excites me. There's so much people never even think about the Holy Spirit. Look at John 16, verse 14. We're going to have to quit in just a minute, but I just want to get started. We'll do it. That was the introduction. Look at verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, so many people skip right over that, and they go down to where he's in the next verse where he says, in a little while, I'm not going to be here, you know. And they skip right over top of that. I want you to know that personally, the Holy Spirit of God, everything He does is to glorify the Father, and everything that He has, it belongs to the Father, and everything He does is the Father. Do you understand that? So, for somebody to say, I knocked on their door the other day, you know, and talk a little while. Was you raised in church? Did you go to church? Was you raised in church? Yeah. Have you ever been saved? Well, I used to be. And I stand there and think, you don't even know what it means. If you knew what it meant, you wouldn't be telling me that. Well, I used to go to church, but I don't anymore. I got my feelings hurt. Well, you was going to church for the wrong reason. If you had the earnest of the Holy Spirit living in you, you can't hurt my feelings enough to keep me out of church. I'll change churches. Y'all vote me out tomorrow. I'll be in church Sunday.
Amen.
Run me off. Lie, tell stories on me. I don't care. I'll be in church next Sunday. I will walk down an aisle somewhere next Sunday, and I'll sit down and I'll say, preach, brother, preach. Because, look, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Him. He drew me. He called me. He separated me. He sanctified me. He saved me, and He's keeping me, and it's all Him. I have Him in me. I can't deny that. How could you deny that? I've got the earnest of God in me. And He reveals Christ to me. And that's my one point tonight. I'm going to preach for about 2 or 3 minutes and we'll quit. He reveals Christ to me. Do you know what that means, Brother Jeffrey? People have been in church all their life and they've sang How Great Thou Art, How and A Closer Walk With Thee, and they've seen the old rugged cross, Are You Washed in the Blood, but they've never seen Christ. They go through the motions. My wife grew up that way. She went to a Presbyterian church, and the pastor preached on Sunday morning a good 15, 20 minutes, and he had a very doctrinal sermon. He'd read the scriptures in point one, point two, point three, doctrine, and they'd sing a very reserved hymn, and they'd go home. And the teenagers would come back Sunday night, and the pastor would teach the teenagers on Sunday night some Bible stories or something. But Christ was not being revealed. The facts of the Bible were being revealed. The doctrines of the Bible were being revealed. But Christ was not being revealed to anybody. Nobody was being saved. And you can't be saved unless you're saved by the Holy Ghost drawing you, calling you. And then He's the one that changes. He's the one that regenerates your spirit. He goes in there and makes that dead one alive. You know, He touches it and that's it. And there's so many people that He's not been revealed to. Christ has never been revealed to them. I told y'all a story. I wish I could remember that preacher's name. I probably will halfway home. There was a Southern Baptist pastor in Louisiana. He preached for 26 years. He pastored 26 years. He began to search. He felt like he was missing something. He began to search. And the Holy Spirit of God revealed Christ to that man one day. And he accepted Christ. He said, I'd never seen Christ. I knew all the doctrine. I knew all the facts. I knew where to tell you to go see it. I taught it, preached it, but He'd never been revealed to me. I had never met Jesus Christ personally. He said, and that day the Holy Spirit of God said, He's the one you need. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that paid your sin debt. And so He began to reveal Him to me. He said, so that day I accepted Christ. I was born again. I went back to my church that night. I was after preaching Sunday morning. He said, I went back to my church Sunday night and I stood in the pulpit with tears in my eyes and I said, I've got an announcement to make and I don't know how you're going to take it. He said, but today I got born again. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior today. The next week they had a business meeting and voted Him out. You know why? Because they had never been revealed Christ. They'd never seen Christ. Well, I remember, and we sing these hymns. We don't think anything about it, but and every time I'm leading a hymn, I have thoughts. That's why I shouldn't lead singing. I'm thinking about other things. I lose my place, and y'all make fun of me. The preacher's losing his mind. I'm not. I'm thinking about something else. But I was thinking about that one tonight. And I thought the first time I sang that song, I was almost 24 years old. And I wept through the whole song. I wept through because I was reading the words, and the Holy Spirit of God was revealing Christ to me and what that hymn meant about Jesus Christ. My church, Eastside Baptist Church, they thought I was crazy. They really did. They thought I was crazy. They made fun of me. They did. They made fun of me. And called me a holy roller, everything else. And all I was doing was reading the Bible, and the Holy Spirit was revealing things to me, and I was trying to share it, and they'd never had it revealed to them. Maybe they'd never even had Christ revealed to them. I don't know. The pastor understood, but he never preached it because they didn't like to hear what the things I was talking about. It was the Holy Spirit revealing the Word of God. Now, the problem with most people that we think are backslidden, the Holy Spirit has never revealed Christ to them. Brother Rick, when I say I know Him, I know Him. I know Jesus Christ. That day, the Holy Spirit of God, through that preacher and that preaching, and of course many other sermons, the Holy Spirit was revealing through His Word, through His Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, not just to my head, but to my spirit. And whether you like it or not, I am a Baptist that believes in feelings. And I had great emotion because it was such... Let me tell you something. When Christ is revealed to you, the Holy Spirit, what He does, He picks him up through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And God the Holy Ghost, while the preacher's preaching that, God the Holy Ghost brings it right up in your face and says, He's talking to you. He's talking to you. He said, Roy, that's you I love. That's you. That's you I'm calling. That's you I died for. Look, Roy, listen. And God the Holy Ghost opens your eyes. And you, all of a sudden, just like the song, I once was blind, but now I see. He said, man, preacher, I see it, preacher. I see it. Now I understand it. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't do it, you're not going to see it. And look, I don't have the mind of the Holy Ghost. I don't know why He picks who He does. Sometimes I wonder, here I am 60-something years old. And sometimes I wonder, I can start counting the people that's dead that died that I grew up with that died in their 30s and their 40s and then in their 50s, and mine didn't even live to be 60. My friends didn't. And the drugs and the guns and the knives and the car wrecks and the fights and the disease and all those things. And I think, God, why am I not dead? Why did I meet a girl on a blind date in Rock Hill so that I could fall in love with that girl and get married to that girl so her best friend could get saved and introduce me to a preacher in Rock Hill who was originally from Kershaw and pastored a church for many years in Lancaster? And I hung around with his son sometimes at school. He had a bad son. And I hung around with his son. We played basketball and stuff together. And yet God moved me. And he moved that preacher up here. And then He moved me up here. So now God, the Holy Ghost, does those things. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Why aren't you dead? Why didn't you die in your sins? Why do you see it and they don't see it? Why do you understand it and they don't understand it? Look where He brought you from. Whew. He reveals Christ to us. And if that's the power of the Holy Ghost does that. That's not a preacher. It's not a written piece of paper. It's not a song. And I don't put much stock in people that say they got saved on a song anyway, by the way. It's not a song. It's not a program. It's not a tract, a gospel tract. It's not even somebody sitting down taking you through the Scriptures. It's God the Holy Ghost opening your eyes, a dead person getting to see something. Be like going down to Green's funeral home and having some ice cream this time of year and holding up that dead guy. He ain't going to see that. He don't want that. He's blind. He's dead. He don't want that ice cream. He has no desire for it. It'd take God to open his eyes to make him want that ice cream. And that's the way you were. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You didn't see it. You had no desire for it. You didn't want it till the Holy Ghost began to draw you and separate you and then finally save you. And then a lot of them claimed to be saved, fell to the wayside. He sanctified you and he's kept you, and one day he's going to glorify you. That's all the Holy Ghost. Everybody did that. Ain't that good? That's enough to make a Baptist shout, ain't it? Now next week I'm going to get into my sermon. That was the introduction. Aren't you glad that he opened your eyes? I've tried to witness people before and take the Scriptures and just read them and read. They'll say, I don't see it. They'll say, I don't see it that way. Or they'll say, I don't understand that. Unless God the Holy Ghost opens their eyes, that's His job. They're not going to see it. And we need to be, hey, look, we need to honor Him. And we need to pay Him His respects. Because if he don't do the job, that's why he's sent down here. If he don't do the job, they're going to die and go to hell. And we'll to intercede for them and beg the Holy Ghost to convict them. I beg the Holy Ghost all the time, go get on so-and-so. Go get on so-and-so. Don't let them eat or sleep or work or play or do anything without thinking about dying and going to hell. I sick the Holy Ghost on them. Amen. Amen. Boy, he's a wonderful person. I love him. Next week, we're going to talk about it, how he reveals himself and he leads us and he satisfies us and he empowers us. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word that'll never change.